filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. So the first thing I'm going to tell you this morning, if you don't have the power of God in your life, and I know I talked about this last Wednesday night, about being ceaseless in prayer, but we see here in the pattern. There's a pattern put here of, in the Word of God for us to follow so that we can understand what's going on. And so as we look at this, we must be plugged in to the power of prayer. Now we, as God's people, and the local church, we've become familiar with organization. I mean, we're some of the most organized people in the world. We know when to stand up. We know when to sit down. We know what we're going to sing this, two songs, and then we're going to have the offering. We're organized. We hold on to truth, and we have the Word of God. And we get up here, we preach from the Bible, and we study the Bible. We study the Bible to show ourselves approved unto man. And as we do that, but I'm telling you, I believe personally, we as God's people are illiterate in the school of prayer. We're illiterate. Look with me over in Luke chapter 11 real quick. Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11. You might want to turn those amplifiers off, Brother Josh, while they're coming on and off. Just kill it all. That way we don't have an amplifier. We'll get rid of this so we just go to church without it. Luke chapter number 11, verse 1. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying," talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And I believe, dear friend, we're very illiterate at this thing called a prayer. I think sometimes we approach it just in a simplistic manner. Lord, give me this. I want that. Lord, thank you for this here. And Lord, you know that one's sick over there. But we got to get to the point where we realize that it is great power in communicating with God. That prayer is a simple thing, but it is deep in building the relationship with our Heavenly Father. And there's too many of us that just pass through, or we maybe sometimes tolerate this thing called prayer. We kind of put up with it. You know, well, it's something Christians have to do. It's something that we should be doing. And so we kind of get through it, kind of wade through it, and do what we can with it. But that's not where the real power is. The Bible says here in Acts chapter 4 that after they prayed, listen to what it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together." Now we're assembled here this morning. We're together. This is assembly. A local church is an assembly of gathered believers who's been baptized and they covenanted together that they might propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are assembled together. And so, we need in our lives to be very in tune with the Holy Spirit of God in this thing of prayer. Because when we don't know how to pray, the Bible teaches us that the Spirit of God will pray in our stead. He will pray for us. And prayer, dear friend, will bring a boldness through us and for us and with others that comes from the power that is in Christ. So the basics of prayer, the basics of power is prayer. So, preacher, it's about every other Sunday you talk about praying. It's about every other week. We hear something on the radio, some Christian speaker talking about prayer, because prayer is important. It's important to pray without ceasing. Spend time alone with God. Pray publicly. Text with each other and spend time and say, hey, you got something you want me to pray with you about. Get you a group together. Just today, there's 9 of us here at the church, and any of you are welcome to. You give me your phone number, I'll send you a link to it. You can join us. We're starting a devotion tomorrow on praying for our wife. There's only 9 of us that's doing that. What's up, preacher? I don't have a wife yet. It's okay. You still need to know how to pray. We need to pray. And we gotta help each other in this area of prayer and spending time with the Lord in prayer. You know, it's 6 o'clock in the evening over here. We meet as a church and we spend time in prayer. I know it's only about 10, 12 minutes, but as a group, we pray Sunday mornings at 9:30 or so. There's some men that go over here in this here classroom and they pray. And there's some ladies step over here in the choir room and they pray over there. Why? Because they want the power of God on their life. Prayer is important. It is the basics for any power that we're going to have with God. The second thing is found in verse number 32. The second thing found in verse number 32, and the multitude of them believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. So you've got to have prayer in your life if you want power. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, we've got to get to the point where we have God's love. The love of God. God's love. They were one heart and of one soul. Christian fellowship, dear friend, should be our foundation of fellowship is built on for God. So love the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm just going to be honest with you, dear friend. All effort that we have in our Christian life is useless without love. Pastor, you ain't got no Bible for that. 1 Corinthians 13, dear friend. 1 Corinthians 13, turn over there real quick. And we're lacking in this area, dear friend. I know the pastor's dead and alive because of why? Who? Say it again. Because I love the brethren. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, that's godly love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. How much faith does it take? In the New Testament, does it teach us that to remove a mountain? How much faith? That of a grain of a seed of mustard seed. All faith. So that I could remove mountains. And listen to what it says. And have not charity, godly love, I am nothing. Nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, godly love, it profiteth me nothing. Without the love of God in our life and in our church and our church families and you know, love, let me tell you something, love breaks down and forgives, and love removes things that are in the way and things that hinder and put wedges. Love covers a multitude of sin. Here's something to think about. Godly love looks for the best in our brother and sister in Christ. That's godly love. Well, give me an example, Pastor, okay? Here's an example. Peter was a tremendous man of God. Peter followed the Lord closely. Peter was actually inside the small circle of the apostles. You remember, it was Peter, James, and John that always went a little bit further. So he's in even the smaller circles. But when it come time for him to take a stand when Jesus was on trial, we know that Peter did what? Three times. Three times. And the third time, the Bible teaches us, if you look it up and study, the third time the Bible says that they even took eye contact, Peter and Jesus. They saw, they looked at Peter. Can you imagine the brokenness in the heart of the Lord? As him being God, he already knew what was going on outside without even understanding. He knew Peter. He told Peter, Peter, the devil's going to sift you as wheat. He's going to sift you as wheat. And Peter went out. The Bible says that Peter got fed up with it all. He got his fishing poles, his fishing nets, and he told the other ones, he said, listen, I'm done with this. I'm going fishing. And he took others with him. So now, here's the great man of God, Peter, and he's done cursed out these folks and told them, I don't know this Jesus, I'm not with him. And he's over there. Now he's going further into backsliding state, and he's taking others with him. Isn't it amazing when we get away from God that we don't want to go alone? That we're always fishing for others. Always trying to get others to follow us along. Okay, so now he's out there fishing with others. And who's on the bank? Cooking. He's got him some fish roasting. And he's looking out there. And Jesus says this, come dine with me. So he came and he dined with him. How many times did Peter deny the Lord? Three times, correct? So they're sitting there around the fire, and I know how you and I would have been. Now, this is a rascal that he denied me. Not only did he deny me, he cursed out there. I'm telling the preacher, he cursed. Cursed, however y'all say it. He said a bad word. You know what Jesus did? Brother Jim, what did Jesus ask? What was the three questions he asked about? Did he ask, why are you backslidden? Did he ask, why are you taking others with you? Why are you causing a schism in the fellowship of believers? You know what he talked about? He was looking for the good in Peter. He was looking for that which was good. And he said, Peter, lovest thou me? Love, dear friend, let me tell you something. It will break down and cover up, and it will help you to look for the best in our brothers and our sisters in the Lord. And then what do we find Peter doing? Day of Pentecost, Peter stood up with power and began to proclaim the great gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says on that day, 3,000 were saved and added to the church in that self same day. Why was that? Because when Jesus called him back, he was more concerned with restoration and getting Peter corrected so that he could go do the job than he was looking for the dirt in his life. Too many of us are too deep in Christian psychology. We need to get to the point that the blood of Christ covers all sins. We need to look at people with great grace. Great grace. So we've got to have power. And that power comes from prayer. And that power comes from love. And the third thing is, in verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Got to be plugged into prayer. Got to be plugged into love. Not just everyday love. I'm talking about a godly love. But you've also got to have a great heart for evangelization. We must be plugged in to the power of witnessing. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, to them that believed, if you would switch over there real quick and flip over three or four pages in your Bible, Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, but ye shall receive power. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto the me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I think evangelism is probably the greatest need of our time. I think there's many churches that are languishing and just, you know, flapping and floundering like a fish out of water, just barely surviving because they have no community outreach. They have no concern about the loss around them. They have no concern about the power of God upon their life. The power of God, dear friend, is not going to be on our life if we're not concerned with lost people. Look with me over here in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, I believe it is. Philippians chapter number 3. Verse number 10. Philippians chapter number 3. Verse number 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. These praying, these loving, caring disciples, this church at Jerusalem, spent time in prayer in one accord and one mind. Different, they were at such a oneness that the Bible says there in verse number 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but he had all things common. That's the love of God. And then it drove them to preach with great power and be a witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You find a church that is not concerned with their community, dear friend, there will be no power of God on that church. There will be absolutely no power of God on a church that is not concerned with people going to heaven or hell. Amen. These are real places. And for eternity, people that die in their sin without Christ will burn in hell for eternity, dear friend. There has to be concern. And it starts from within the body of Christ. Why should it start within? Because we have been born again. We have been born again, and evangelism is something that needs to be the forefront of every outreach or everything that we do as a church. Everything should be about presenting Christ and Him crucified. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. You want power? Power's not free, is it? How many of you, unless y'all done hooked up to your neighbor's meter? I'm going to go there. Don't raise your hand if you don't run extension cord over to your neighbor's house. And they don't know it. But every month, Duke, Progressive, KUA, Florida, FLA, what's the one you work? I wonder if we can pay our bills. Like, paid a third of them. Got lights working here, a number over there. What'd you say it was, Brother K? But they give everybody all their lights free. I mean, you just... Y'all don't send bills out, do you?
We do.
You do. There was a bill sent out for you and I at birth. A bill for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. a debt that we could not pay. But Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, came to this earth and walked upon this earth, lived a sinless life, and made atonement and paid for the sins of the world. And whosoever believed in Him should not perish. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. And our debt was paid in full. Aren't you thankful that every service you don't have to walk up here and pay again for your sins? It was one sacrifice. And it was good enough for all the sins of the world. It was paid. So if it was paid and you enjoy that free love of God flowing into your life through the grace of Christ, dear friends, should we not be concerned with those around us? Look at what it says in verse 33. We're going to close real quick. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And listen to this last sentence. And great grace was upon them all. Without all the advantages that we're afforded. We got internet, Wi-Fi, hotspots, blogs, television, radio. We've got billboards, signs that reach out and present some sort of message of Christ. You see sports players putting eye black on and writing scriptures on their face and there and national television, and you can see John 3:16 and somebody in the stands holding up there, or you know, some of these guys, they just cover themselves in a team color and they put a cross on there, and you see some resemblance of the gospel. And yet these folks that we're reading about did far more through the power of God than all the advantages that we have been afforded. You know what it's done to us? It's made us complacent. It made us think, well, Brother Bill's going to load it on the internet. Somebody else will hear. Well, somebody else got an app. They put an app out for this preacher. They got an app. They got apps for everything. And it's made us complacent. It's made us where we feel personally like we've been resolved if we give a little bit in the offering. After all, we got a church sign. I know what y'all are thinking. Lights come back on, so he'll quit. We must go back to the basics of Christian service. And the basics, my friend, is prayer, love, and reaching people. Well, they're really not concerned. I wasn't concerned either. But I'm sure thankful now. There was a group of people in Leesville, Louisiana that thought it important to make much of Jesus. We've got to make much of Him. Listen, we must decrease and He must increase. Prayer, love, witnessing. And I'm telling you, dear friend, if it shook the world then, I am convinced that it will shake the world right now. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The hymns are going to be on the way. We'll still be singing here in a minute. We talked a lot about what is the basics for the power of God. But perhaps there's one here this morning that never trusted Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. Would it be a shame if we talked about reaching folks outside these walls and we might have one right here and we didn't give them an opportunity to come and accept Christ? Our church can't save you. Jesus Christ loved you, died on the cross of Calvary for you to have eternal life. If you're lost this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior, you come, let us take the Bible and show you from the Word of God how you might know that you have eternal life. Dear Christian friend, if you've been living this Christian life without the power of God in your life, I beseech you, come. Come, the altars are open. God wants to pour his power out upon us. Use us greatly. And I pray to be very respectful of that. It's good to have you today. We're so thankful that you've come out. We hope that you had a wonderful time in the house of the Lord. How fitting it is to preach on the power of God. And this here happened today. That we have half lights working and half not. And that's how many of us live our Christian life. One day we have the power of God, one day we don't. We don't have to live that way. The Holy Spirit of God seals us until the day of redemption. We have his power day by day. Think about that for us as you go home today. Don't forget, nursing home at 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, there will be prayer time, instrumental practice today at 5:15. 5 o'clock, 5:15, Brother Connie's class over there.
Can I say something?
You sure can.
My wife and I want to give a testimony about the God Club. We've seen it in our life recently over the last few weeks. We've seen some of that love through the Christ-like actions of our church family here in Los Angeles. We've seen some of that love through how my wife is so excellent through surgery and through recovery. Through all the prayers from all of y'all here, thank you very, very much. They meant so much to us. She's done so well. All of that. I want to thank everybody for what they've done, all their prayers very sincerely, and all the meals that we've received over the last couple of weeks. I have to lose them, but I'm not doing my job. We thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for that. One passage I'd like to mention in the Bible that kind of struck home to me is in 1 John. It's 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for the testimony. It's good to hear God at work in our lives. Unless we testify for him, other people may not know. Don't forget, 5 o'clock, Brother Connie's class, 5:15, the instrumental. 6 o'clock prayer time, youth choir, kids choir at 6 o'clock, and at 6:30 our evening service. I think couples class is having some leftover chili, too. So if y'all pay $10 a head, they might let y'all go in their spot. We can talk to them about it. Good to have y'all today, and I hope you have a safe time traveling and back home. Hope to see you again tonight. You're dismissed.